Just happy to be here. Just good.
Amazing that nobody else seems
to be.
You
know what? I sat down tonight and I just thought, it at the same time as it's completely not amazing, it's completely amazing. I mean, I get it. I get why.
Well, and yes, I mean, there's lots happening in people's lives and a lot of people traveling and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it is astounding. And of course, in a very few days,
it'll be overflowing and we'll be, where do we put
it? Where did all these people come from? makes it nice and quiet.
So I don't know, I didn't have a topic. I just, when there was a space,
well, how are you good to yourself?
Oh, that's such a great,
I didn't hear from any of you.
I know.
This morning.
Yeah. So I resonated a lot with what people were talking about in terms of what I'm here. That is so good. That is so good for the human. And it's such a big place. And I think it is the place that had me put my hands up just and say, happy to be here, because I was just practicing with it today, where I'll watch like something, there'll be a stimulus and it's like, oh, okay, there it is. I can see the sort of the conditioning come to the fore or something. And what it feels like is, to use Ashwini's image, that there's a place of calibrating to the place that holds that conditioned thing that arises, which feels really different than, okay, now what do I do about that conditioned thing that arises?
Then calibrating to the messages in the...
Yes, exactly. Then kind of that image of, moving the deck chairs around on the sinking ship. And that what is so amazing about that place, and what is so good for the human, and I've really been looking at it in relationship to health and that kind of thing, is that that unconditional place, practicing that place of being good to the human through all of it, I resonated with what Karen was saying. It's not so much, I think it was Karen who was saying it, it's not so much, now I'm going to be good to the human. It's just that being here is good to the human. And that
we're already in the good to the human place when it occurs to us that there we might do something to be good for the human, to the human.
Oh, it was whoever was talking about
Susan.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Exactly. And so that is so good, so profoundly good, and it holds everything.
Yes.
And anything can happen, and everything does happen.
Yes.
And all the conditioned reactions come up, and all of the... Like, I've been looking at it in relationship with headaches lately, and I've been noticing that there's a way in which the physiological, all the sensations of, pain, or, you almost have to leave that one labeled on, but tension or tightness or, whatever, the pushing, that all of that can be exactly the same, but when the relationship with it is different, it's completely different. Mm-hmm. It actually feels even like it has a different impact on the body, if that makes sense.
Well, that's what Karen was talking about. Yeah. Right? When you're really in the body, your experience of the body is so different. We talked about
that's what
that you have to separate yourself from that in order to call it pain and have a relationship with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that, when we're here, everything's happening.
Yeah.
It's just not happening center stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Conditioning moves from being the star of the show to being sort of a, not even a bit player, but more of a cameo,
yeah,
or a, you know, a walk-on.
Yeah.
And that feels so dramatically different when ego and all of its stuff is not right there in front of us.
Yeah.
It's just, it's all happening.
Yeah.
It's just not a big deal. There are so many other things that are a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Such a big deal. And the thing that's so interesting to me anyway about that is that this is such a big deal. Then try to just get a sense that there are 7 billion plus people on the earth having that exact experience, having no idea at all what anybody else's experience is. It's just, it's inconceivable, isn't it? And yet, you know that it's true.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so big for us.
Yeah.
It's so, and it's real. It's, I mean, it's kind of the only, the only reality. And to be like, actually, no.
I've been enjoying, again, listening on Shuffle, and just all the, it just feels like this person or whatever has created this unbelievable archive for me. Just thousands of hours of practice. And no matter what comes up, it's just incredible and informative, and you know, it's that reassuring thing of she's not working with different things, she's working with the same things.
I just talked to somebody today who said, I just read a journal entry from 1997. I was saying the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And somehow that's comforting.
It is. It's comforting and encouraging.
Yeah.
It's comforting in that, okay, we can stop taking this quite so seriously.
Exactly.
It's encouraging that we can stop taking this so seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And that is being good to the human.
Yeah.
Chris?
So with that exercise, I had difficulty understanding, or not understanding, but kind of getting a sense of the word good. It's like just drawing a blank right away. Well, what does that, right? So really had to translate it to like kindness, caring, that kind of thing. And then eventually got to the place of that's what life does for the human, and that's taking care or being good to this human, then it's just simply a slipping into that place where and just letting life do it.
Yes.
And I mean, that seems exactly like what you're talking about, being here, and so extraordinary. The energies just all align, and just all feels so natural. So opposite the jangle, what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And in that place, we know a couple of things. We know it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
And we know that what makes everything in our lives good is because of that.
Comes out of that, yeah. Yeah.
That we could be anywhere doing anything, and if we weren't here, then it would be jangly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it really does come down to just being in the process of goodness. And all will be revealed, or all is given, I guess, is a good way to say it. If I'm available to receive it, then it's there for...
Always.
Always, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, talk about comforting, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We're conditioned to believe that this thing that we're seeking is somewhere, and if I fix myself, and I get everything all lined up, then I'm going to be able to get that. And so, here I go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to realize that it's stopping all of that that enables me to experience what it is that I'm seeking.
Yeah. Yeah, so today a lot of experiences of I would say half in and half out, so I could where there's a lot of awareness, and then there was a sense, enough conditioned interpretation going of what was happening, that it was like I'm semi-identified, but still a lot of awareness in it, and it was like I could sense how horrified conditioning was at what it was interpreting, or it's like, you know, just all of those same things, you know, well, you're not getting anywhere, this is not working, all of that same kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where are we going?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's nowhere to go. It's so obvious that when you do get here, it's like, oh yeah, yeah. This is kind of where it ends.
Yeah. And it's, again, that hidden in plain sight. It's so obvious.
Yeah.
My God, what it takes to see it. It's obvious. And on top of that, we're told constantly, and yet it remains mysterious.
Yeah, and even just marveling at how real it can seem at the turn of a dime. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just around one corner, and it's like, I guess it's the razor's edge that we all talk about, the 0 to 60 and 3 nanoseconds.
Yeah.
and there's that first turn, but it seems like it's also really skillful at the second and third turn. So it gets that first catch of the attention, and then there's the two nanoseconds after the first 3 nanoseconds, there's the second one which seems to drop it, and you know, before any time this comes at all, then it's saying, I'm completely identified, or, you know, oh no, here it comes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And right before I can feel kind of awareness is kind of there, kind of scrambling to keep up, right? Kind of going, wait a minute, time out here. Too far, too fast.
Yes, well, and exactly that, to realize that progression.
Yeah.
Right? That it is a piling on. When we're not paying attention, there's a piling on. And that's that kind of, I'm thinking about grapefruits. How did I get here? You know, you just kind of come to, and you're in this random thing, and have no idea. Uh-huh. And it was doing what you're describing, but it was completely on its own.
Yeah.
So it's just making connections. You know, that, and then that, and then that. Then a piece of karma drops in about that, and then that, and that, and that. And it's just a hopscotching all over the... Is that not? That's not. But anyway, all over the place. But to watch it do it, and to watch... So there you are, and something arises, and then to watch what arises next, the first pylon.
Yeah.
And then... the next one, and the next one, and to realize that it's not random, right? It's not.
They're little increments. They're increments. They're all well constructed. That little step is an easy one to make. Easy one for the attention to follow. Mm-hmm. Attention follows that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, most folks don't stay with it that long, right? Because as soon as I get to, oh no, I'm going to be identified. You know,
the scramble was on. Too.
Yeah, the scramble was on. We're off to graces. There's no more conscious awareness. But if we can stay with it and watch that, and then this comes out, and then that, and then there's that belief, and then that triggers that, and that.
Yeah.
Now we're in the first there's movement, then there's a sensation. And
yeah, and I think I would get to, I think 4 or 5 in would be the horrified place. So conditioning's made 3 or 4 interpretations, and now it's horrified at what it's move the attention to, and then I just forgot.
And of course, it's not right, but it's over there screaming, "Oh, no!
Here it comes again!
Oh no,
yeah.
Ego!"
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And and then there does seem to be that place where, and I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe I'm just being convinced of that. I'll get swept away in it, or maybe that's just the next phase of it. Probably is just the next piece of it, I would guess. Yeah.
And if you're trying to get swept away in it, you will. Right? So then the work is to watch the message of being swept away and realize you weren't.
There's still some awareness.
I'm still here. Even though swept away was threatened.
Yeah.
Because it is a program. And so it's going to go through the stages of it, whether it happens or not. You know, so it hits the, oh no, you're going to be identified. And you just watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, Sherry, with that, would you say, so there's that sequence. So backlash is just something, it's that same sequence, only it's more intense. There's really no difference. It's just looking to move the attention out, and it's a little more desperate, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just the program is just programmed to notch it up a little bit when it's hungrier.
Right. Yeah, and when we're less responsive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, it didn't work.
It's alarmed when it was
right. 2 or 3, right? Yeah. And now we're at 4, 5, yeah, 6. And of course, with meditation, we can watch how eventually it just gives up. It just goes away if you keep watching it. And then, in through a side door, comes the to-do.
Yeah. Back at it.
Mm-hmm. Which again argues for that losing interest in it.
Yeah.
Relegating it to being a bit player. So that when it comes on with its lines, they're so obviously not a part of the program.
Yeah, that's really true. Yeah. You know, when you first said what's going on this evening, to start this evening, it's like, well, not much externally.
However.
The sun was arcing through the sky and you know, nature was doing its thing. Other than that, not much. So,
yeah. And then, it makes this place so perfect, doesn't it?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's amazing. There are so few places on the planet where the voices are so loud, and the story is so obviously made up, and it's all just scrambling to try to get its teeth into something because there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
And there, not only is there nothing going on, there's not supposed to be anything going on.
Yeah. You know?
The difference in that?
There's no expectation.
Your job is for nothing to be going on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we're doing here, is practicing nothing going on.
Yeah.
Just being here.
Yeah.
And this is just over there going nuts because...
Yeah. I know every now and then I just have to stop and laugh. It's like doing a task. The leaves are on the ground. They need to go in the cart. This is not a big deal. But, as you say.
Yeah. And we'll critique every piece of it, and every way you do it, and what you work over what people said, and what other people are thinking, and what this means, and really what you should be doing instead. And what a colossal waste of time this is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how are you good to yourself?
How are you good to yourself?
And yesterday I felt like I had one of those blessed moments when I was in a place where there's so much conditioning to go to self-hate, and it was there, you know, just for a moment it was really believable to go there. Like, it did seem really hopeless.
Thing to do.
It did seem, you know. Yeah, I don't, anyway, it did seem the thing to do. This was being good in a way that I just couldn't have I couldn't have imagined. I mean, I've been in the practice of exploring what is unconditional and unconditional love, and as we've been talking about friendship and for the human. Mm-hmm. And so I was really caught in this, and how, you know, and one of my areas is like, and how do I explain myself, you know, and
to the judge and jury.
And the judge and jury. And of course, that's how it always comes out. It's just really not, it's really ugly, and nobody wants to hear the explanation because it's to the judge and jury, and it's just really not at all helpful. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really in this stuck place. And then this was goodness. It just was like suddenly, she's a good person. She just needs to be loved. There's nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing wrong. There's just nothing to explain, or there's just like, there's just love to offer in the situation. And it was such a, and tears just kind of welled up immediately, because there was somebody in there that had just been wanting that forever, for, you know, that just, I could see in that moment, she, you know, it was just more beatings on top of more beatings on top of more beatings. And to just have it stopped and...
Yes, in the moment, mm-hmm. not as a theory, mm-hmm. not as a, now this is what you want to do next time that happens.
Well, that's the other thing. Yes, mm-hmm. yes, in the moment it was just really beautiful. And today I've been swept away in that. It's just a big identification again.
Oh, of course.
You know? And so...
Identification or self-hate or both? In identification on your way to self-hate?
It hasn't been as... The self-hate hasn't been as blatant as, yeah, yesterday, but... It seems like self-hate to be swept up in that kind of identification.
And what is the identification?
I have a victim, you know, and let's see.
Because they are doing something, or...
Let's see,
something inherently wrong with you, or
something definitely inherently wrong here. And it's about getting a bad deal. It's a thing that just runs, you know, like this is a bad deal, you know, this is unfair sort of thing that just starts happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it going, you know, that this is not helpful though. Then so what comes up is, well, that's ridiculous. You know that's just a victim stance. What's your problem? So then
that could be the self-hate
part of the program. So then we're just really, then it just feels kind of...
And so, do you ever do things when that's going on, so you're a victim, and you start through an actual assessment of what's going on?
An actual assessment of what's going on?
I live in this beautiful place. Uh-huh. I don't have to go to work in an office
right.
somewhere.
Right.
I eat fabulous organic food. Mm-hmm. I get to breathe fresh air. I meditate at least three times a day. It's harder and harder.
In the middle of it, a tweet did come through with saying, "What's working now?" Which was like so helpful, you know. And truly, yes. And so I did go there. You know, I'm alive, mm-hmm. and I'm really grateful for that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm grateful for God. I just had this great meal, and so I did go there. Mm-hmm. And then
which is very different from, you're a victim, come on, get over yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's what recording and listening is, as compared to conditioned voices of anything, positive or negative. And it's just bringing our attention to what is so.
Yes.
Yes. And of course, then we quickly get to, so what is making me feel like a victim? Mm-hmm. The voice in my head talking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing that isn't real.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Which I find fun to remember. You know, the food is real, the sunshine is real, the body is real, all that's real.
Mm-hmm.
What's not real here?
Mm-hmm.
This conversation we had about mm-hmm. being a victim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This seems pretty obvious right now.
Yeah, I know. As soon as we just identified everything, so it's all clear.
Yeah. What's wrong with this picture?
Mm-hmm. And again, you noticed it, but just to underline it, of course there would be a big backlash. Of course. I mean, what we should do is wake up in the morning on the day after we've had a great expansive time and just say, I know you're coming for me. And these are the ways I'm going to be watching.
Getting into that, you know, proactive stance instead of the victim stance of like, you know, okay.
Yeah, and isn't that interesting?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's the victim stance.
Yeah.
Leaps up behind you.
Exactly. I got that figured out now. And I can just go see
thank
again.
Thank God that stuff is behind me.
Yeah. That was big. I saw a big thing. Yeah. Wow, now. Yeah. So,
watch out tomorrow. So I've just seen a lot tonight.
Yeah. I'll just watch. Because I probably won't wait for tomorrow either.
That's right.
You know,
still have.
I still have some hours to go. Okay. So, anyway. Okay.
Scott?
Well, similar to what people have been talking about, how I'm good to myself is to be out of the conversation in the head. And I think kind of what Brad was talking about, the best way for me to do that is to follow through with the intentions, to show up to the commitments. That seems one of the best ways to end that conversation. So I've been really enjoying the commitment to living here. And it's one of the best things. I do like going off property, and when I come back, this is how I want to live. And really grateful for that choice, or whatever chose that for me, or however that works.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was seeing in the transition, and I've seen in the transition, is there's something that happens in the transition where there's like the judgment that's normally going on is somehow suspended for a little bit. It's like ego's a little baffled, and anything it tries, it's like, well, yeah, I'm in transition from an incredibly overstimulating, distracting place where I didn't really have all the support I normally do, to a place that is clean and clear and nothing's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I'm in meditation and the attention's all over the place or the awareness is completely collapsed, it's no surprise, and it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that I noticed I don't seem to be interested in when I'm here for months.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see that it doesn't really matter where you are, it's the process you're in. So even if I'm, quote, you know, really expanded and really here and practicing great, if I'm in a process of judgment, well, that's the same process as when I come from off property. property and I'm all just, you know, it's the same experience.
Mm-hmm. And it all just kind of changes volume.
Yeah.
Right? So you've been here for months and this level of quiet and non-distraction is the norm.
Yeah.
So seeing how that system attempts to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And
it picks at the small,
yes,
the smallest little things. But, it just reminds me, it's like, gosh, it's just keeping us from enjoying our life.
Always.
Because, what's going on? Well, there's a process of waking up. And part of it is being in that environment, part of it's being in this environment. And it's happening. Mm-hmm. So, would I like to be present to enjoying that process? Or do I want to be listening to a voice about the process? It just seemed more clear, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. In that comparison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And from that place, it just kind of felt like, gosh, I think I'm going to go with this suspended judgment thing. I just want to keep going with that. Mm-hmm. Because then, as we know, everything is fine.
Yeah.
And I can relax.
Yes.
You know, I just watched this role with the property here, and there's just been this tension around communicating with others, feeling like, quote, they're present and you're not. And I keep trying really hard to do this communication, and it keeps seeming off. That's at least the internal feedback I get, and sometimes the external feedback. And I can see from that place, I'll never figure it out. It's like, what are we doing? We're practicing to going to where the guide is. That's what's going on. And the guide's not going to do that for me. I have to learn how to do that. And for some reason, whatever, maybe it's just karma I've never looked at before, but I can't see where I am to know to go somewhere else.
Yes.
It's like, wait, why isn't this, it seems really clear. How come it doesn't seem like what I'm getting back is clear? Okay, well, I'm pretty sure it's more this process over here than something over there. I can't, what am I identified with?
Uh-huh.
And so...
Besides...
That, what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, besides what I'm just saying now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like today, I just sent off this email to the guy, to you, and afterwards I was like, I think that was one of those, like, trying to get it right kind of emails. And then it was like, because if it is, then that's what I'll get some kind of response
exactly.
That will help me see that.
Exactly.
So we can just stop the fussing about
yes.
all of this.
Yes.
And I'm in the kindest place with the most respectful, kind people to support me in doing this. So what you were just saying, what's the question? Like, what? You know, we get delicious organic food and we get to sit three times a day and or like the leaves in the car. It's like, what do I... No, let's just drop that fussing mm-hmm. and be here mm-hmm. and love this person and be kind mm-hmm. and enjoy learning.
Yes.
Because that's what I want to do.
Because and if you put those together, that what you're really learning to do is love a human being unconditionally. Mm-hmm. You're learning to be unconditional love. And the way you get to learn that is by practicing on a human.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
my and either you are one.
Yeah.
And all that stuff, it's so interesting, isn't it? That it's never, all that stuff is never reinforced. You know, nobody ever says, Scott, you're an idiot. You know, why do you send these stupid emails? Why can't you? I mean, that it just never happens. Not even anything close to that ever happens.
Exactly.
Fortunately, you don't send really stupid emails and do stupid things. But even if you did, that would not be what you got back. Because it just wouldn't. Why? Because where you're coming from, goodness.
Mm,
and the only thing that's going on is this conditioned stuff, yeah. This karma that we've got going, this ego that wants to have us is constantly trying to get some of the juice that's actually yours to enjoy. That's
right.
All.
That's all. Gosh, that right when you just said that it's coming from goodness, that just went boom. And I could feel that emotion rise in that. And of course.
Of course.
And the only reason I lose track of that is because I'm looking at that voice saying something else about me.
Yes.
which apparently is going on a lot, because it seems, because again, as we were just talking about, it's so obvious right now. I know that it's coming from goodness.
Yes. Yes. And this is a subtle one, so we, you know, it's a subtle one. Before it's over, however we define over, that won't be able to do that to you. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to cut any corners. Mm-hmm. We don't. And so even though where you're coming from is goodness, you wouldn't idealize, so whatever I do is fine.
Right.
Whatever you do is fine. Mm-hmm. But having that be so is not the same as I'm going to adopt that as my orientation to life.
Right. What was coming in when you were saying that, I heard, you said this morning about choosing the highest good. When you're from goodness, you want to choose the highest good.
Yes.
And like you said, yeah, everything is fine, but I mean, why would you stop there?
Exactly.
I mean, it just wouldn't even occur to you, actually.
That's right.
You would just be doing the highest good thing.
Yes. And so if it's, if we were, whatever task we were doing, and one is not coming to me right now, but oh, let's say you're playing the piano, and you play the piano really well. I mean, you play it well enough that we'd never know you didn't play it really well, but you know, because the better you get at playing the piano, the more subtle is your sensitivity to the piano and the playing. And because you want to be one with that experience, you keep attending more and more minutely to everything that happens. Hmm. So it's never good enough, and it's never from ego.
Hmm. Hmm. Right.
So you do what you do, in this case, for the love of the music, the love of the instrument, the love of the experience, the opportunity to experience something so glorious.
So something, I don't know if this is completely related, but I just like, so there's that place of this is so glorious, and that's true all the time. That's what it is, glorious, until there's the referencing. And so one of the stories I believe is like, oh, I'm just unconscious all the time, I'm listening to that all the time, which I don't know if that's true or not, but one thing that
it's not a helpful story.
It's not a helpful story. Yeah. But one thing I remember him saying that I just know, I think that's possible for this person is, he said at one point you were practicing, and at one point you were walking along and you were aware, oh my gosh, I was just in a conversation in the head. So like the default was no conversation. So right now what happens is like walk along. Oh, I woke up out of that conversation. Mm-hmm. But I can see that that's possible to have that someday that could be the experience.
Yes. Yes.
And I just, for some reason, it seems important to say that. Because it's like, well, if I can see that, then I must have had that experience or in another life, or I don't know what it is, but just not to listen to the limitations that are going on constantly about.
Because you can remember being, you can't remember being unconscious, but you can remember periods of your life when you must have been unconscious because what was going on?
Yeah.
Right? There was no, I mean, maybe I like to talk about it, as you know, awareness about 1 foot out. Right? So I knew exactly what was going on with me.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that was pretty much it.
That's right.
That no larger awareness at all.
Uh-huh.
And now, that's certainly not the case. So you know that there were extended periods of time where you were just completely lost in whatever was going on in your head.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I got to see well out too that we want it does matter what you do every moment. because I can watch the difference of essentially having the attention on consciousness a lot more. And that, what you just said, there's the one foot, and finding moments of like, whoa, where was I? And that there is no, you get someplace and coast. You know, that if you leave and you stop doing practice, you're going to live a lot more unconscious life. I mean, that's just true. What you practice is what you have.
Right.
And so that's good to know. I can stop fantasizing about whatever that all that is. And just show up and be here and receive the support and the encouragement and practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And increasingly realize that wherever you are, you will be, you will have the same opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Content is irrelevant.
Yeah, you often say to people, whatever they're talking about, well, that's, you have kids. Well, that's your best chance to wake up and end suffering. And you move to the monastery. Well, that's your best chance to wake up and end suffering.
Yeah.
You took a new job. Well, that's your best chance.
Yeah. And the idea that I'm going to get to a certain level of awareness and then I'll just be able to just do whatever I want. Okay, you certainly can, but don't count on staying at that level of awareness. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I've watched that over time with people because they will go out into the world and they're so much more aware than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've arrived. Mm-hmm. And then talk to them a year later.
I completely can see that. Yeah.
Okay.
just before I walked in here, I just, you know, what came to me was this time here so far, it's so rich. That's what it feels like. It is so rich. Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like just because of all of everybody that's ever walked this place, that's participated, the spirit of this place, it's all geared towards awareness. So, and that's, you know, it's so different from, I mean, I know I can do that when I'm leaving, but that's not how I've walked around with the rest of everybody else. So this is like such an amazing experience, you know, to, no matter what I do, I can see something.
Yes.
I see something. It's informing me of the process that's going on inside of me. And, you know, one thing, I love doing yoga. I've been doing it for a very long time. So yesterday I went to the pavilion and I just love that place. It's so beautiful to go there and do yoga. And it's just me, myself, and I. Mm-hmm. And here I am. On the mat, you know, and I don't have like a program. I've just been doing it for so long that, you know, I have lots of things that I can do. But here I am, and I'm in one pose, worrying about what pose to do next.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, you know, how is that possible?
And if all right, all of you in the class. Don't worry, I'm going to come up with something good.
And if I don't come up with anything, who cares? But there's this moment where I worry that I won't have something, the next pose available. And I mean, I'm thinking how crazy, how utterly crazy is that? But it's exactly how I always walk around. That I can't relax in the moment, trusting that the next thing will arise, I have to make something happen. And so there's always this little tension, there's always this little fear, and that's what I walk around with all the time. You know, and for me to see that in this situation that makes it, it's like what you said, you know, it's like out in life, maybe in a job, there's all these reasons why that might be reasonable.
Yeah.
But there I am, and it's happening.
Yes.
And so I can see it.
There's a lightness to it. There's a, I mean, we can say, that that's insane.
It is insane.
Yeah. But there's no self-hatred, because we can see that that's a system that's running in my life that is nuts. And so all of that, we see it for what it is. There's a distance from it, a freedom that comes with that. And it's very difficult to see that under other circumstances, because you're never that alone,
right,
with nobody having any expectation of you at all. It's rare in life.
It's very rare. So that's what I feel. I feel like, you know, every moment is really for me.
Yes.
To discover something.
Yes.
How this thing is working.
I love that you said that so much that I need to underline it. That that every moment is informing you. Every moment you have that chance to see something that you haven't seen before, to see it from perspective that you haven't seen before. Every moment. It's marvelous.
It is, it's marvelous.
Because what we're trained to do is back to the judgment, right? That you become aware of something and conditioned mind wants to jump in there and decide if that's a good thing or a bad thing, what that says about you, and what's wrong with that, and how you fix it. But to have that attitude that I'm really watching that system operate, and everything I do gives me an angle on that, gives me a chance to see that. There's awareness practice.
Yeah. Yeah, I could go on and on and on, but what I also want to say is that I, you know, sometimes when I do something, I just have these moments, you know, today more than yesterday, where I just enjoy what I'm doing.
Yes.
You know, it's so funny, you know, I get a lot of, I do a lot of things here that I would say, I don't really like that. I don't like making beds. I just don't like making beds. And what do I get? I make beds today, all afternoon. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I had such a satisfaction when I got that crease right, you know, when you tuck that thing that...
making little hospital corners and
yeah,
your military
and precision. And I learned something. I didn't know that before. And it really gave me great pleasure. Or I clean the windows and I walk by the windows and they're so see-through. And I just really enjoy that.
Yes.
It gives me really great pleasure.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because you're really there with it. It's a relationship. And there's nothing else that you need to be doing or that you should be doing. You can give all of your attention to this human being living. It's extraordinary.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I was talking with somebody today who they're thinking about coming on retreat and there's nothing wrong with your retreat. And of course we get a lot of people at there's nothing wrong with your retreats who have never done a retreat before. These people have really never done a retreat before. And I was trying to explain exactly why we don't want people to come here who don't have any idea about what they're getting into. And I tried to come up with examples. You know, you're airlifted. Would that be down? No. Whatever it is, when they put you down there in some village in rural China, there, that's kind of what it's like. You know, that's what you're going to be up against. You know, if you have a sense of awareness practice, or you this practice, or you know, you've read books or something, But to come into this with nothing, you know, I said it would be cruel. No, it would be unfair. It would be unkind to somebody because, and what I tried to explain to him is, because we love this practice so much, not this practice, but awareness practice. And we want everybody to be able to have the kind of experience that you're describing. And we can't do that if we don't have any kind of understanding about what's happening, any preparation for it. You know, you live in a whole thing. I don't make beds, okay? I don't make beds. If I want to make beds, I'd stay home. I'd get a job as a maid. I don't want to make bathrooms. I get sick of washing dishes, whatever it is. But to have that realization, to have the depth of practice, to realize this is the most extraordinary opportunity to have all of your attention and all of your awareness available for you. That's all people were asked to do, is have all of their attention and all of their awareness on their own inner workings, on their own process, so that a person really can see how we cause ourselves to suffer and get how to drop that process and end suffering. I remember when I was in the monastery where I trained, most of you can sleep this, one of my jobs was in the winter time to clear manzanita. And I would go out and I would literally spend all day long digging up manzanita trees. It's a big job. When I was young and fit and healthy, but it's a big job. And I would dig and dig and dig. I would push on those things and pull on those things and try to invent all different kinds of ways that I could get this, and all day long. That's all I would do. And it was the most astounding experience I had ever had in my life. Nobody talked to me. Nobody looked at me. What else? Is there anything else? Do you like to hear any more stories? No. Yeah.
So I've never heard that story.
Really? Oh my gosh. It was winter time. You know, it'd be raining. It's good when you take manzanitas out in the rain because they soft. They don't have a very deep root system, so it's very satisfying. Then you give me a chainsaw to chainsaw it up. Then I got to take them all, put them on a big fire, and burn them.
That must have been a big fire.
It was a big fire. Well, it's very warm.
Manzanitas are unbelievable. What they do this time of year, it's probably on every single one of my recordings as I'm walking home at night, because there's one right in my path. But when they start late spring, when they start to peel, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. It's just completely incredible. And that progression for, I don't know, a few weeks. And right now they're in the place where it's just covered in little curly pews. And it's that bright green underneath. Incredible.
They are. They're amazing. We also, in the spring, made manzanita jelly.
From the
blossoms.
Oh, well, Sadie would love.
She likes the blossoms, yeah. And I will tell you that it's just pink sugar.
Oh, really?
That's it. They don't have a lot going. You have to put a lot of sugar into that to make jelly out of it. Very pretty, though.
Yeah. I just feel so grateful for everything. That the practices and the people in this room and the things that people talk about. I love the image of the playing the piano. And I really, really saw in that somehow there was a connection being made with that, the conversation around being a victim. Because what I saw, I always loved this quote, and I can't, it's stated very eloquently, and I can only remember the rough version, but
I think it's Martin Luther King talking about, you know, if you're a street sweeper, you know,
give it your all, you know, be the best street sweeper that anybody
was. Yeah. And that mastery, and that what often comes through for me when I'm being talked into a victim place is that actually very often it's that I'm receiving a gift that's being framed as, why do I have to be the one who?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And what I realize is, there's that person playing the piano getting better and better and better, and with that there's more and more responsibility, which is a deeper and deeper gift to me. Mm-hmm. And that I get to play, like, my life is that piano piece. You know, I'm being given
chopsticks to Chopin.
You know, and I'm able to, it's back to the conversation of, you know, how long was I unconscious for? And the more and more conscious I am, the more I can play with that mastery, the more I want to, the more it's amazing. It's an amazing process. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, it feels like every time we come into group, it's like it's a symphony. Mm-hmm. Like, we have no idea what's going to be created. And then this, each instrument, I mean, it's not to get too terribly poetic, but that is how it feels.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, back to putting those together, for every kid who ever was forced to take lessons in some instrument or anything like that, to just so thoroughly miss the opportunity. Now, of course, not everybody did, but an awful lot, because there's very little understanding of how to make an opportunity available to someone.
Yeah.
So that now I know I have to play this move. To realize that, as you're saying, that's for me. I get to learn this.
Yeah. And just quickly, that one of the connections I just made was that I often marvel at the incredible grace and generosity of practice, that because what I just saw was being that little kid who, you know, I hate piano lessons, don't make me play the piano. And that, meanwhile, we're quote grown-ups, and we come to practice because we choose it, and then we become that little kid who don't make me play that stupid piano. And just that incredible patience and generosity of practice to know that that's going to happen. That's going to cycle through. For anyone who sincerely wants to do this, you have to move through that. There are no shortcuts.
Right.
And then just that,
That is a very funny sequence, though. I've actually never seen it that way before, that people come to practice as grown-ups because they choose to, and then move into that little kid who's being made to
do it.
Yeah, clean their room.
Why are you making me do this?
Uh-huh.
I can't say. And I mean, that's the funny part, is that it feels like that's what practice has available to it. That this is my experience when I'm present. No one thinks that means anything about me. There's no way around that.
Right.
It just has to be.
Right. So. Yeah, it's just funny to be the person who doesn't realize it. And of course, my teacher, you know, such a poet, always keep in mind, I never asked you to come here.
That's
a really good point. So maybe you're not victimizing me?
Truly, I didn't ask you to come here. You didn't build this place. Like, I mean, even your teacher, you know, it's like, no. Anytime.
No. Yeah.
I mean,
All right then. Lovely to see you all.